Good morning, everyone. Monday, August 10th, the Mary Griffith Show is underway at 9:17, straight up on your dial, 9:30 a.m. and 103.3 FM. And we're going to say good morning to Misty Spilker. Misty is with the Adams County Health Department, and we're going to talk today about vaccinations. Good morning, Misty.
Good morning, Mary.
Now, of course, we have no vaccine yet for COVID-19. That's been dominating our news. But we've had some problems in recent years with people being reluctant to have their children vaccinated. And now it's back to school time. And they say there's been a resurgence of whooping cough and some other childhood illnesses because people are reluctant to get their children vaccinated. So we're putting the push on today for vaccinations. Tell us about what the Adams County Health Department is doing to inform parents that this is necessary if your child attends school.
Right. It's back to school time. There is a cutoff date in October. Those kids have to be vaccinated by then to be able to remain in school. And we are open for business over here. We are taking all immunizations by appointment only. We're screening people when they come in, so we're safe. We're asking everybody to wear masks as they enter the building.
But people can enter the building, make an appointment, and get their immunizations.
They can, yes. They just need to call and make an appointment. We'll come outside and get them. We check their temp, ask them some COVID questions, ask that they wear a mask, and then we'll bring them on down and get those kids immunized.
Let's talk about the difference between having your pediatrician or your family practice doctor immunize children versus the Adams County Health Department. Does it make a difference?
It does not make a difference. We put our immunizations into the state database along with the physicians at clinics, and we offer all of the immunizations that they would offer at your physician's office.
So is it cheaper somewhere? Is it covered by insurance somewhere? Is it free somewhere?
Right. So we do, if you have private insurance, we do bill your private insurance. We also have what we call the Vaccines for Children program. Those are the vaccines that come from the state. So we do Medicaid vaccines, and we also do vaccines for children that are uninsured or underinsured. So it's a lot cheaper for them to have it done that way.
Okay. So if people are underinsured or not insured or on Medicaid, the health department might be your first stop because private physicians could be overwhelmed with their own patients. We've had some back-to-school fairs, but they haven't been quite like they have been in the past. I know in Quincy you used to be able to get a haircut, and you could get your vaccinations, and you could even have a few screenings done. And now, of course, a lot of them have been drive-through, just here's your book bag, here's your supplies, we wish you luck, carry on. Are you worried about children not getting properly vaccinated this year?
We are currently in the process of helping some of those kiddos catch up that were behind and got behind due to the COVID quarantine and the shutdowns that were going on. As long as you have an appointment, we are going to get you in. We want to get those kiddos vaccinated. We feel like that is one of the most important things, and that is something that we can be proactive on right now.
Why is it important for children to be vaccinated? And what are the long-term health risks if certain children do not receive vaccinations?
We want everybody to be vaccinated. You know, there's kiddos out there that can't get vaccinated for numerous health reasons. We want to get everybody taken care of that we can. We don't want people to be exposed to things. We don't need an outbreak of polio right now or of chickenpox right now or anything like that. So anything we can do to help prevent those types of things and we can stay as healthy as we can right now is just a super great situation.
We have seen an increase in whooping cough. Chickenpox really doesn't have to happen too much anymore because of vaccines. Polio, you mentioned, that's probably the closest thing living people remember to COVID-19 was the polio scare, you know, when there was an extreme worry about social distancing because of kids getting polio. Do you think that COVID-19 is going to put vaccination at the top of people's minds, even though we don't have a COVID-19 vaccine?
I sure hope it does. I sure hope it does. You know, there'll be flu vaccines coming soon. If we can get those kiddos vaccinated and prevent all of those illnesses that we can prevent with vaccinations, that is so much better, and then we'll deal with the COVID stuff also.
So it is critically important that all children, school-age children, have their vaccinations complete by that October deadline, or they could be asked to leave school, and that's important. But it's also important for the preschoolers to have their vaccinations, and then don't forget the adults. We often forget to have our booster shots and things like that. So let's talk about the littlest children first. There's been a movement maybe to spread out vaccinations among small children and not to vaccinate with so many different vaccines all at once and kind of let them recover from that. Is there medical evidence based on that, or is that mostly just for the to make the parents feel better?
Right. I think, you know, you have a child that's had a reaction in the past, so you don't want to risk that of giving them 6 shots at one time, and that's fine. We will work with you. We'll schedule you. We'll get a couple done for that baby, you know, tomorrow, and then we'll get you back in here a month, and we'll just do them slowly but surely. We want to work with the parents, and we want to get everybody taken care of.
And what about the parents who are concerned that the vaccine itself causes autism or causes an autoimmune response that is something they don't want?
Right. I would just encourage them to speak with their physicians about that and hope that they would help them make the best decision for their child.
Okay. And do you know of a group in the area that maybe homeschools or avoids public schooling because they refuse vaccination?
I really don't know. And actually, we've had a pretty good turnout in the past. We haven't had a lot of kids, you know, or parents calling and saying, you know, we don't want to get our child vaccinated. And so we've had a pretty good turnout. You know, this is something that's best for your child. I know it's rough, especially when they're little, but this is what's best to help keep them, you know, safe and healthy.
Well, you know, I'm old. I had chicken pox when I was a kid.
I did too.
And now, really, kids don't have chicken pox anymore, do they?
No, I have 3 kiddos at home, a 15-year-old, a 9-year-old, and an 8-year-old, and we have not fought the chicken pox, thankfully.
And I know that nobody likes to see their kid get stuck with a needle. I mean, you know, I mean, that's not a pleasant thing. But if you've ever had to go through chicken pox, what a nightmare.
Right.
I mean, I remember just being miserable and scratching, and my mom had to kind of almost restrain me because she said, you're going to get permanent scars.
Yeah, yeah.
And of course, when you're 7 years old or whatever I was, I didn't care about permanent scars. I itched like crazy, and I felt like I was just one big giant dab of calamine lotion or something like that. It's almost like the equivalent of putting the dog cone around me. You know, she had my hands all tied up, you know, and everything with mittens on them and all kinds of stuff. So kids today don't really suffer from some of these. They don't get measles, they don't get polio, they don't get chicken pox, and that's a good thing.
Yes.
Okay, what about adults? I hear about, well, see, the trouble is college kids, they're quasi-adults. They may be legally adults, but they're still under kind of the protection of their parents. Meningitis. Are there some things we should be getting before our kids head off to college?
Right. Yes. Yeah, so their senior year, they're going to get the second meningitis. That's a regular school vaccination, so that is one that's required. But there's also the meningitis B, which is another strain of meningitis. It's not a mandatory shot. However, we do offer it, and we do highly encourage it. That is something that has, you know, in the past, went around the colleges pretty strong, and it is something that hits you pretty quick, and it just starts out as a, you know, as a headache, and then within like 24 to 48 hours, people have been very, very ill. So it's a series of 2 vaccinations, and it is not required for schools, but some colleges nowadays are actually starting to require that one to be on campus.
Okay. And what about HPV?
HPV, we will offer that to you also. If your child starts that before the age of 16, it's just 2 vaccinations. However, if anybody over the age of 16 starts it, it does turn into a 3-shot series. And that's really important just for the prevention of those cancers.
Okay. And then on to adults. I know when we were having the big flood, anytime we have a big flood, and anybody goes down to do sandbagging or anything, you know, they're required to have a tetanus shot and stuff like that. And so around here, you know, people are reminded to get a booster by some kind of natural disaster, it
exactly.
Seems like. Yeah. But what are some of the things, like I'm 60 years old, should I be getting some, I mean, my doc, you know, is my doctor watching this for me, or, you know, should I be getting something that I'm not thinking about?
Right, and that's definitely something you can talk to your doctor about. I mean, you want to get a pneumonia shot when you're over the age of 65, and then they also have the shingles vaccine, and that can be given to adults over the age of 50.
But isn't there a shortage of shingles vaccine? Because my name's on a waiting list. It seems like I never get to the top.
It's been bad in the past. It's gotten a little bit better now with all of the COVID shutdowns and people not giving as many immunizations. We do have a slight waiting list over here. However, it's not very long anymore.
Okay, so if somebody wants to get the shingles vaccine, and again, we have seen enough television commercials to know that it's available. Does insurance pay for that?
That's something you're going to want to check with your insurance on, because not all insurance providers do pay for that.
Okay. But the benefit of it are, because if you've ever had chicken pox, that virus is still inside you, and you won't ever get the chicken pox again, but shingles is like grown-up chicken pox.
Yes, and it's extremely painful.
Okay, so get your flu vaccine this year. Get your shingles vaccine if you haven't had it. You don't have to get that every year, though, do you, shingles?
You don't. You get it. It's a two-shot series, and then you've got it, and you're good to go.
Okay, and there always are concerns about the flu vaccine. And this year, with COVID running around, is it critical that people get a flu and a pneumonia vaccine, or is that not necessary because we're social distancing so much?
Right. No, we are highly encouraging the flu vaccines and the pneumonia vaccines when those flu vaccines get here. The more we can do to help keep ourselves safer and healthier, the better off we're going to be. We want to keep those doctors and those hospital rooms available for the COVID patients and those people that really, truly need it. So if you can get a flu vaccine and that might keep you out of the hospital, that's good for them and you.
Okay. Misty Spilker from the Adams County Health Department. And, of course, people are listening that aren't in Adams County. You can't speak for them. But parents out there that want their children immunized, they can call their local county health department or their local pediatrician or family practitioner. And all the health officials in every county should be up to date on what is necessary.
Yes.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. Anything else, Misty, before I let you go?
I don't think so. Thank you so much, Mary.
Thank you very much. Misty Spilker from the Adams County Health Department. In the green room, it's Brandon Thompson. And we're going to talk about being the director of a play when it's done via social media, something new and exciting. We're going to talk with Brandon in a moment. We're back. Talk Radio 930 WTAD. Boy, the people you miss during COVID-19 lockdown. One of my favorites is back. Brandon Thompson, artistic director of the Quincy Community Theater. And for a while there, I thought, well, there's going to be nothing to direct, so we'll never see Brandon until 2021. But wait, there's always an option. And so we're going to talk about how the community theater is getting along in general in a moment. But let's talk about what's happening tomorrow night, because you're going to actually have the performance of a play. But it's not going to be at the Oakley Lindsay Civic Center for us to go see there. It's going to be for us to watch in our own homes.
That's right. The comfort of your own home. How about that?
So let's talk about this. The play is called The Mountaintop. We'll get into what it's all about. It's a reimagining of the night before the assassination of Martin Luther King. But how exactly does this work technically? Is this like a Zoom meeting where there are 3,000 people logged on, or how does this work?
Well, it is sort of like that. This particular play is being licensed through a particular company, and so they have particular guidelines, and so they say you have to use a certain company in order to stream this.
So it's not Zoom. It's just like a brand name, not Netflix, but it's a brand name.
Right.
And it's just like if I want to order up something on Disney Plus or I want to order something up on Netflix, I'm going to order this up.
That's right. So you go through our website and you have to get a ticket. Now, here's the thing. QCT is making this performance completely free of charge. We just really believe in it, and we want to get our programming out there. So it is of no cost to you. We certainly ask people to consider making a donation to Quincy Community Theater during these very complex times. But then what happens is you are given a very unique code. And then before the performance tomorrow night, within the hour, so the show starts at 7:30, so between 6:30 and 7:30, you'll go to the website that they provide you on the ticket, and you enter your specific code, and that will give you access to view the show. And then it automatically starts at 7:30 p.m.
And, you know, you could do it on your phone, which is not recommended because it's too small.
Yeah.
But you could do it on a laptop, or you could even throw it up on your big screen
TV. That's right.
Yep. Okay, so it's just like anything else on demand, but it's not, the brand name is not one that you're going to know. You can't go to Netflix and get this on demand. You have to go to 1QCT.org, order it up. And when it said tickets go on sale, I thought we were going to talk about the excitement of having revenue come in, but no, but you can make a donation if you'd like. So the great thing about this is usually on any given show of the Quincy Community Theater, the maximum number of people that can see it is 3,000.
That's right.
Because you only hold 498 seats times usually 6 to 8 productions. But this, there's no reason why thousands and thousands and tens of thousands of people couldn't see it. And in fact, you don't even have to be in Quincy. You could be anywhere.
Exactly.
New York, Los Angeles, Shelbina.
Yep.
I put those all three in the same because a lot of people, you know, can't tell the difference between those three towns. So this could go anywhere.
International.
Anyone.
QCT
International.
Is going global.
In Antarctica. Yeah. They'll be watching
the
mountaintop tomorrow evening at 7:30 our time. I don't know what time it is in Antarctica. What time do you think it'll be in Antarctica tomorrow? Are they right below us?
We'll probably say it's Wednesday in Antarctica.
Well, you know, it's interesting because somebody was trying to tell me about what time it was in Mexico. I said, it's the same time here. Mexico curves under us, you know. So, but anyway. So Antarctica, I guess. It just depends. You know, if it goes straight down, it might be at 7:30. I don't know. It's winter there now, so.
So tickets are free.
Tickets are free, yeah. We're not going to try to figure out how to get your ticket in Antarctica. Those listening in Antarctica, you're on your own. 1QCT.org. Now, let's talk about the play, and then I want to talk about tickets are free, so how the heck is Quincy Community Theater keeping its doors open?
Sure.
But as long as they stay open until 7:30 tomorrow night, that's all we care about. This play, The Mountaintop, was actually written expressly for this format, right? So this is not like some stage adaptation that you're doing.
That's actually a different play that you're thinking
about.
That's the next show we're going to do in a virtual format is called She Kills Monsters.
Okay, that was written for this format. But
yes,
this is an actual play
that's
been on
the stage. She Kills
Monsters
was originally written for the stage, and then that playwright went back and rewrote it for a sort of Zoom online format.
Because it wasn't going to open anytime soon,
right.
So why not
so,
make it available?
Exactly. It was very smart thinking. And so when we were looking at shows to do in a virtual format, we wanted to look at things that could lend themselves well to this, that didn't require large amounts of people being in the same room together with complicated scenery and costume changes and physical business. And so one of the benefits of The Mountaintop is that it's a two-person cast and it takes place all in the same room.
And the benefit of this cast is they're a husband and wife, so they don't have to worry about social distancing.
That's right. Yeah,
so,
John and Marissa Lumpkin from Quincy, Illinois, are the two actors in the play.
And they're African-American?
Yes.
Okay. And would it be fair to say that, and I don't want to say underrepresented, because you have open calls for auditions, and Sean Johnson and other people have come, and we've had African-American actors and actresses on our stage and working backstage, but by and large, the Quincy Community Theater has had a little bit of trouble attracting the minority community to be on the stage. It's improved greatly over the years as the younger kids come up. But this is great because this will be a chance for perhaps a whole new audience to see Quincy Community Theater and to say, I can be in a play.
Well, right. We want our message to be out there is that we are a welcoming organization, that everyone who, I like to say, if you're a kind person and willing to work hard, the door is open for you. So come on in. And everyone will be respected, treated well. And so it's Quincy Community Theater. And so we as a staff have to be very aware of the people in our community. We say that we tell different stories. So we have to make sure that we're varying the voices of those stories, the types of stories that we're telling by the people who are writing them, by the people who are performing them. So we hope that this show does open that door of opportunities that people will maybe who have never been through our doors will be more aware of us and know that we mean business. You know, we're here to entertain and educate. Those are both in our mission statement. And everyone is welcome.
And this will be entertaining and educational. And you can sit in the privacy of your own home. You don't have to wear a mask. And you can watch it free of charge by going to 1QCT.org and ordering up that special code, that ticket that's absolutely free for tomorrow evening at 7:30. Now, I love how this is written. It's Dr. Martin Luther King. He's in Memphis. Mm-hmm. We all know what happens. But this is the night before he's assassinated. A mysterious stranger comes to the door. Dun, dun, dun. Now, this is in no way based on anything factual, so you can't give away the plot. But mm-hmm. obviously, Dr. Martin Luther King doesn't know he's going to die the next day, although he does make that brilliant speech.
That's right.
I've seen the mountaintop. I may not get there with
That's
you.
That's right, Mary. Yeah.
And that is so prescient.
Yeah.
And so interesting mm-hmm. that somebody who'd been leading that fight for all those years would say, we're going to make it. This victory in Memphis is one of the things that's really going to turn the tide. I may not get there with you.
Right.
So what can you tell us without giving everything away?
Well, to speak to that, on his way to Memphis, his plane had a bomb threat. And one thing that I've learned so much working on this show, and one of the greatest things I love about doing theater is how much I learn by doing a show. It might be learning something about history. It might be learning about the way people think and feel. It might be learning things about how I work with other people and how other people work with other people. And I have loved working with John and Marissa as the two actors. I've learned so much from them. I learned that Martin Luther King Jr. at the time was the most hated man in America. You know, he was not well loved, especially by the FBI and Hoover, and there were constantly threats on his life. And so what this play explores is, as Katori Hall, the playwright, would say, the man, not the myth. And so you get to see a very human side of him all alone in his hotel room and his doubts, his insecurities. You know, when you see the footage of him and you hear that thrilling voice, right? You think this man is full of this confidence, right? And it puts him up on a pedestal, and it sort of puts all the pressure and also all the responsibility on him. And what this play does is it exposes that he was very human. He was very flawed, and the playwright said it best in saying that if this man, who was so human, could do such great things, I, with all of my flaws and all of my imperfections, can do great things too. So we each have a part to play in what in the play they refer to as the relay race, and he is just one of the runners, and he has to pass the baton.
This is probably more timely than we could ever think, with statues being torn down all over America. Some, you know, very understandably so, because they represent something that other people despise. But some people, historians have said, leave the statues up and put an explanatory plaque. Because Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. has a wonderful memorial in Washington, D.C., mm-hmm. but he was not completely faithful to his wife. He may have plagiarized his doctoral thesis, parts of it. He was a human being, even though he was a reverend. The first person in the world that will tell you everyone is a sinner is a preacher.
Right.
You know?
And that's addressed in the play.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, you know, we expect them to be completely free of all. They're not supposed to lust. They're not supposed to do anything. They're not supposed to cheat, steal, lie, do anything. Yeah. They're not even supposed to have hate in their heart. And as nonviolent as he was, I bet you there were days he just wanted to ball up his fists. So we're going to see a side of him in this that's going to be the real side of him with this mysterious stranger coming in. We've got to take a break for the farm markets, but when we come back, we'll talk, Brandon, about directing a husband and wife. Because this is not a love affair between these two characters. So this is a husband and wife in real life playing the characters.
Right.
The chemistry will be good, but it won't be affectionate, I guess. Would
Correct.
That be safe to
sure,
say?
Sure.
Okay.
We'll talk more about
if
that.
If you're mad at your husband, this would be a perfect play to be in. You don't have to kiss him. On Broadway. Well, Broadway is all but shut down. Quincy Community Theater canceled its regular season. But wait, folks. There's Always a Way. And now The Mountaintop will be performed tomorrow evening, 7:30, and you can watch it in the comfort of your own home by going and getting a special on-demand code at the number 1QCT.org. Do that today. No cost to you, and you can watch the production tomorrow. John Lumpkin and Marissa Lumpkin, tell us a little bit about that pair, and obviously you needed an African-American pair, a man and a woman, to play these characters. So have they got theater experience with QCT?
No. This is their debut. I didn't know them at all. A friend of mine had reached out to John because they work together at the Adams County Safe School, and she had said, "Do you know of anyone who might be interested in this?" And so he took a look at the play and noticed that it was a two-person play, a man and a woman, and so he said to his wife, "Well, I think you should do this too." And so they signed up to audition with everyone else, and they read together and thought, yeah, I think this is it. I think this is our pair right here. And they've never done theater, and they are new to QCT, and they are so wonderful. I have loved working with them, and they really do have wonderful chemistry. And I'll say, not all married couples have great chemistry on stage. They might have great chemistry off the stage, but you don't always see it on stage.
Well, because they're not playing.
Yeah.
They're not playing themselves.
And these two have wonderful chemistry. They play off of each other so well. And this play is so thought-provoking, but it's so funny, too.
Oh, okay.
You know, the mark of a good play is that it can be a mix of all of that. And so there are so many heartfelt moments in here, and then great, great comic lines, and they handle both just with aplomb.
I think one thing that I've learned from Quincy Community Theater, you always want to have new talent come in and don't be afraid to audition. And in this case, you know, if the husband had been right and the wife not, or vice versa, they wouldn't be with their partner. They'd be with somebody
right.
else, because you cast based on the best person for the part, not anything like that.
Right.
Like, well, you got to cast my wife if I'm in it. No, that's not how that works. But you'll get to see people who have no acting probably experience or very little. And then, Brandon, it's a testament to you, because this still, where is it actually, where's the physical space where it's going to be performed? Is it going to be performed at QCT? Is it, where is the physical where they will be
sure,
tomorrow?
That's a great question. Well, I'll tell you that there is a part of it that is at QCT, but the space may not be recognizable to most of our audiences. But actually, the bulk of it is being performed from the Atrium Hotel, the Atrium on Third Hotel, right across the street from the theater.
In a hotel room.
In a hotel room. So the entire play takes place in room 306 of the Lorraine Motel in Memphis, Tennessee. You know, and QCT is not in a position where we can build a set right now, right? And so we still wanted the background to feel like you were in a hotel room. And so I contacted the wonderful people at Atrium on Third, and they donated a couple hotel rooms. And so that's where the show actually is.
Wow. And that's great, because at this time they're not full either. So this is a nice little symbiotic relationship. Have you been to the Lorraine Motel in Memphis?
I personally have not.
It is fabulous.
I've
I will tell you
that.
One
yes.
funny little story. I took my mother and I went, and we had a tag along, a little 6-year-old boy with us. My mother's great nephew came with us on this vacation unexpectedly. We won't go into that why, but yeah, you know, it's a very solemn space. And I had told little Daniel, now, you know, this is probably not going to be of much interest to you, but we're going to be very quiet and very respectful. So we'd been standing in line, and we'd been working our way through the, you know, mouse maze to get up to the room and mm-hmm. everything. And we're looking at it, observing it, and Mother and I are talking. And Daniel had been so quiet and so good for so long. And he goes, "What's the big deal? It's just a hotel room." Thank you, Captain Obvious. And I'm like, shh, okay, you know, because he thought, well, everybody's being so quiet and so subdued.
Yep.
Something really amazing is going to, I'm coming around this corner, and we're going to see something really exciting, you know.
Yeah.
But But it's very good, and I would recommend anyone that gets to the Memphis area, don't just do Elvis, do the Lorraine, the Civil Rights Museum.
Building
as well.
Up to the show on our social media, like our Facebook page, we've been posting trivia or facts, historical information connected to the play. And so if people want some information that's going to just help make the experience a little bit richer for tomorrow night, they can go through our Facebook page and they'll see information like the history on the Lorraine Motel and some of the people who are referenced in the play.
Well, James Earl Ray, unfortunately, is our own Tri-State grown product, the man that assassinated Martin Luther King Jr., born and raised over in Lewis County and lived a lot of his life in Quincy, as did his siblings. Before I let you go, Brandon, I do want to find out how in the heck, and you've got about a minute, so you don't have to go into great detail, but how in the heck is the Quincy Community Theater staying afloat?
Well, through the very generous donations of the public, we have the Ghost Light Fund. So that's letting us know that even though the stage is dark, there's still a light burning, ready to welcome us back. And so right now, that's the members of our community who are donating back their season ticket money or their Chicago tickets, and sponsors who have come on board to support our virtual programming, like State Street Bank and Blue Cross Blue Shield. Times are very, very tough right now, but even though we look different, our mission still continues, and so we're finding whatever means we can to put out content and classes and connect with our community.
And so you're still very much in operations. It's just that people are going to have to adopt a new way to take classes, to do performances, but we'll be over this, but the community theater still exists and is still educating and entertaining.
That is correct.
Okay, so folks, the chance to see The Mountaintop, a gripping reimagination of events on the night before the assassination of civil rights leader Martin Luther King Jr. when a surprised, mysterious stranger comes to the door. Well, comedy, dramedy, and it's all free. Go to 1QCT.org today. Brandon, thank you so very much. Good luck. Break a leg.
Oh,
I said good luck. Uh-oh, it's all a disaster now. Blame it on me.